Hallelujah. Thank God. It's a privilege, and it's been a trip, and we'll get into that tomorrow, but appreciate all you men that have come, and I was really struggling on what to minister, and I'm way too echoey. Way too much feedback. Gone through, written some sermons, and then actually woke up last night reminded of this one, got up, reworked it a bit, and I think God's going to speak to some lives. So I don't really have a text with this one. We can start in Genesis 37. We're actually going to work through Joseph's life. And if you know the expression, pastors will joke from time to time, how do you put what we do on a resume, right? You know, you go from counseling, legal advice, to a hospital visit, to fixing a toilet, to writing a sermon, to, you know, it's like, how do you put that on a resume? And the expression we use in English is, I wear many hats, right? We all can deal with that. We all can relate to that. There's the dad hat. There's the husband hat. There's the work hat. There's the church hat. And I'm not talking about being a hypocrite. I'm just talking about different roles of life that we play, different responsibilities that we have. And in Joseph's life, I believe that we can look at the garments that he wore to understand seasons of life. That if you look at Joseph's life, one of the remarkable moments around his life are the different times where he wore different garments. And so I want to look with you at this because these all represent stages of life, times of life that you're going to go through, seasons, different testings in all of these, that if you stay faithful to God, you will experience some of these, if not all of these, in time. And it's very important to understand how not only to handle those seasons of life and survive them, but also understand that, you know what, it's God bringing you into something even more and greater. Genesis 37:3 tells us about his first garment. And this, of course, is the garment of favor. Genesis 3:37 says, now Israel, or Joseph, loved Joseph more than all his children. Now I know if you have children, you never play favorites, but you know, here's the reality. Because he was his son of his old age, and he also made him a tunic of many colors. And so one of the first things that Joseph has to go through in life is favor. There's people, when you get saved, God gives you favor. This, we can see how in life, you know, you get saved, you get cleaned up, the boss all of a sudden likes you. You show up sober. You show up first on time, sober, you know, and you begin to get ready, and others begin to resent that. And so there's times in life God gives you favor, that God really can use your life, and there's times where the blessing of God is on your life, that you get a new car, or you get a girlfriend, or something like that, and all of a sudden, people are upset that God has given you favor, and they're jealous. Now, there was a time, I'm sure, that Joseph wasn't always his favorite, because the Bible says he was the son of his old age. I'm sure some of the others had gone through seasons of life where they had favor. But it's amazing how when someone else gets favor, others begin to resent. It's the old expression called crabology. Crabology, I grew up on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, which is 150 miles of beach on any given side, and people would go crabbing. And you don't have to, if you get a little 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot or Lowe's or something, you just can put the crabs in there and they won't crawl out. And even as that bucket begins to fill up with crabs, they'll all pull each other down. And that crabology mentality can happen, especially when you have some favor. So here's the picture of the tunic. It says that his father loved him, was blessing him, gives him this tunic, but his brothers resent it. His brothers hate his tunic. In fact, in Genesis 37, it says after Joseph has his dreams and tells his brothers, which may have not been the smartest thing to do, that when they saw him coming, they're upset. The Bible says very specifically in Genesis 37:23 that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was upon him. They identified him. They said, here comes that dream. We see his coat. It's very interesting as some men get favor, or sometimes this is a promotion or a position. I was told by one door director, he's no longer a door director, he's actually a pastor now, but he said when he was door director here in Prescott, there was a particular young man that did everything he could to undermine him. He disrespected him publicly, challenged his authority and everything. But the problem was eventually that man became door director, realized what he had did, and went back and apologized to the first man and said, you know what? I was a twit and a jerk. But it's interesting that as soon as someone gets a bit of blessing or something, how people can begin to resent that. And that's a testing on you. You have to realize that's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of them. When my wife and I started dating in the Cape Cod Church, we were, it had been a long drought there. I mentioned this recently in a sermon, but there had been a long drought where no one was dating, and there were just people not, and it got quite serious quite quickly, and it was amazing how many of the brothers wanted to pull me aside and tell me, hey, are you sure? You better slow down. Is this the right thing? And they were jealous because Carrie was pretty. She is pretty. But, I think that was part of it. But, I had three or four guys. They were like, what do you think? It's like, I was happy, so. It's interesting that they take Joseph, they beat him up, they throw him in a pit, they want to kill him. Reuben talks him out of this. And the Bible says that they pull him out of the pit, they sell him off to some Ishmaelites that were coming by, and they take that garment and they tear it because they resented the favor that God had given to Joseph. They dip it in blood, they bring it to Joseph, they say, Is this the tunic? Like they don't know. Is this your son's tunic? Right? They're trying to use it against him. In life, when God gives you blessing, you're going to find people resent you for that. They shouldn't. The brethren shouldn't. It should be a cheer and excitement. But it is absolutely amazing how many people begin to resent that. And you have to know how to survive that. Because when you're dealing with human nature, you're going to run into that. Daniel at the lion's den, the very same thing. Daniel is promoted. He goes through, to put it in American terms, he goes through four or five administrations. And he's still constantly in the inner circle, on the cabinet, if you will, has the king's ear. And there's people who resent that. The Bible says Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and different other people because he had an excellent spirit. And so now they set out to trap him. So they create the law that you can't pray to anyone for 30 days. And Daniel knows that, opens his windows. He's going to pray anyway. Can't be reversed. They try to get him thrown into the lion's den. Why? Because an excellent spirit was upon him, and they were jealous of that. You have to learn to survive jealousy. You're going to have to do it. There's going to be people, they're going to be upset. God's going to bless you. And what's interesting to me is that life is secular. So there's going to be times where you're not going to be blessed and they're going to be blessed. That's life. Life changes. Life goes on. There's times of great victory and there's times where you're in the valley, and that's part of just the way it is. But when you're having a victory and you're excited and you say, bro, God's blessing me, and they're like, yeah, right. You butt-kissing little. Right? It happens. Right? Mark chapter 10, and I think it's in Matthew's gospel that mom's involved in it, but James and John come to Jesus, right? Can we sit on your right hand and on your left in your kingdom? And Jesus asked them a couple questions. Can you be baptized with the baptism? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they say, naively, yes. And he says, sure you are, but that's not my place to give. That's the Father's alone. And the Bible says that when the other 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with James and John. Right? They're upset. Why? You know, human nature, you know, like, okay, you're kissing out. You're trying to get a position. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. Who do you think that you are that you should go to Pastor Greg and tell him that you want to be sent out next conference? Who do you think you're, and it's not always the devil that is the one to tell us that. Sometimes it's the brethren. And you got to learn to survive that. Your business could prosper, right? You're doing really well and someone else is struggling and, they'll have all the... And in life, when God gives you favor, the garment of favor, can you survive some of the jealousy that's going to come against you? Some of the resentment. Joseph didn't bring this on himself. His father gave it to him. And how the brethren react, that's taken out some people. That can destroy people right there. They can't imagine that crabology. I guess, I pastored in former communist countries. Lithuania was under the Soviet Union. And it was very resentful. You know, it's very not American to ask somebody when they get a new car, the first question is, how much did it cost? To them, it was. They wanted to know. Like, we had people over our apartment one time, and an old Russian woman, she's like, how much did this cost? And my wife said, I'm not telling you. She said, oh, no, you can tell me. I said, no, we're not telling you. Because it was beyond their comprehension and their necessarily her lifestyle and things. It just, it was $500, by the way. But, but to them, that was a month's salary. That was their whole month's wage. So to them, it was like, this is beyond... what they could ever dream of affording, but jealousy. It was always, if you have, it's because I don't. And you have to learn to survive that. Joseph does. Joseph gets the garment of favor, and we all pray for the favor of God, but you're going to have to deal with that in life. The next garment we see that he goes through, the next garments that he goes through are the garments of testing. And the first thing is we know he's sold into slavery, right? He's taken by the Midianites, a man named Potiphar, Boston. I can do that now, though. In New York, they're going to understand Potiphar instead of Potiphar. Anyway, so it'll be good. With the coffee that you're going to drink, it's going to be good with the water that's there. Anyway, and so... So he goes to Potiphar's house, and he's brought in there, and he's now a slave. Genesis 39 says, and so it was from the beginning of time that Potiphar made him the overseer of his house and all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. This is a time of life where you labor without seemingly any reward. There's going to be times. He's a slave. You don't get a raise. If you do a good job, you don't get a raise. You're a slave. Slaves just, that's all there is. That when sometimes you're going to be laboring, and it's going to seem like there's no reward, there's no end, there's no success, there's no possibility of advancement. Again, in our American capitalistic society, if we feel like we've hit the ceiling in our job, we can resign that job, go get another one. A slave cannot. He comes to the top of his game, if you will. And that he's there serving, just doing what he needs to do. God is blessing because of him. He's obviously doing what's right. But there's times in life you're going to labor The garment of a slave, that you're going to have that on your life. He's no longer seems to have the favor of God on him. Now he's just laboring in obscurity and seemingly in vanity. That all he's doing is going to profit someone else. And he's not going to partake of that. There's times in life where you are going to go through that. Pioneering is probably one of the greatest. My very first church that I pioneered, I just remember just the feeling of, I'll never forget this. I was working a job. Part of my job was to collect the trash at the place I worked. And to explain to some of the young people, back then marijuana was illegal, but you could smoke cigarettes everywhere. And so people smoked at work, and we had tons of ashtrays and such. And I remember I just had a bad day. I think we had a service with just a handful of people, and I dumped the trash in, and the cigarette ash came back on me, and I threw the barrel down like, this stinking city doesn't even know why I'm here. And that was true. They had no idea. That was my responsibility to let them know. But I just remember, you know, it just felt like, you know, what are we doing? I called my pastor that day, and I said, hi, Pastor Campo. And he said, Pastor Sullivan. And I felt like dropping the phone because I just didn't feel like a pastor at that moment. I remember I had gotten a word before I got sent out, or actually right after I got sent out. And the man said, you know what, we call you a pastor by faith. And it was true. We didn't have any people to pastor at that moment. They were believing God for me. And so, but you know, the reality is you go through things. When I was in Cork, Ireland, we went through three particular Sundays in a row. When we first opened and we got some people, they were all religious nuts and I had to get rid of them. And we had another period, three Sundays in a row, nobody, either Sunday morning or Sunday night. And that's just frustrating. Just absolutely frustrating that you feel like I've passed out a small forest worth of flyers. We've talked to 100 people on the streets in the last few weeks. It's just like you feel like, you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And that can be true in the church, that you're doing things and you feel like nobody sees, nobody knows. And that may be true as far as humanly conceivable. But Jesus says, he who is faithful with the least is faithful with much. And much will be given to him who is faithful with much. If you've not been faithful with another man, who will give you your own? And there are times where you're going to labor in obscurity and you're going to labor in seemingly fruitlessness or futility and just like, where is this going? How come this isn't going the way I want it to go? How come I'm not being recognized or applauded or however you might feel? That there are times where you're going to go through that in life. And again, you're going to have to survive. And we're going to get into how Joseph did survive all of this, because there's a key phrase that we'll look at in a minute. And then there's the moral test. As he's at Potiphar's house, the Bible says that Potiphar's wife in chapter 39, verse 12, that she caught him by the garment and said, lay with me. And of course, he said, he leaves the garment in her hand and he runs outside. And she uses that against him and says, oh, he tried to rape me. Thus, the Me Too movement has some serious flaws in it. Serious flaws. But the reality is, we're going to be morally tested. Every one of us in here is going to be morally tested. Now, this could be in the sense of the sexual realm. You're going to be tested in that. We live in a very sexually perverse generation. I remember as a new convert hearing a men's discipleship class, and I think it was Pastor Paul Stevens who said the moral degeneration of our generation is actually aimed at the church. Because he's got sinners. You can be a good sinner, be totally moral, and go to heaven. Go to hell, rather, as a sinner. But it's aimed at the church. I don't know if you caught it on the news. It was a very interesting little story. And you want to know the quickness of the violation of that. I think it was just this week, a man in Brazil was at a soccer match, and the kiss cam came on him. And so he kisses the girl he's with. The problem is he's married, and that's not his wife. And so you see him kiss, and then he quickly removes his arm and sits very sullen. Like, his life just changed. And sure enough, his wife saw it. They're getting a divorce, and it's a bad scene for him. But the reality is we're all going to be tested in morals. We're going to be tested whether that, of course, the sexual, we could talk about pornography for a minute and the internet and all that, or just girls. It's amazing. It's amazing how these girls who wouldn't pay attention to you before you're a Christian now are very interested. And how all of this can come. But the moral testing could be in money. Could be with the truth. Could be in different areas. And so he's wearing this garment, and it's the garments of testing. The garments of going through that difficulties of time. From there, it doesn't get better for him necessarily. It actually gets worse. He gets years of frustration. And he goes to prison. In Genesis, right after the Genesis 39:20, so Joseph's master took him and put him in prison where the prisoners were confined. And, you know, we all know, you know, it used to be the stripes, the pinstripes. Then the Yankees took them and the evil Yankees. But anyway, hey, I'm going to the heathen territory. I'm going to try to convert them. But anyway, now it's the orange jumpsuits, right? It's the garment of a prisoner. We all know it. It's there. He's put into prison. And he spends years there in frustration. There's times where we feel confined. We feel like there's no hope. What could God do with me? You don't understand all that I've been through, all the failures and the situations and the circumstances. I buried myself in debt. I failed here. I've done this. And now I'm a prisoner. I'm trapped. And now that's the time of hopelessness. Life is going to have a few times of hopelessness. I wish I could tell you that you get saved, life is sunny, happy all the time, cares are left on the doorstep, sun's always at your back, you know, it's the old Irish prayer. But the reality is that's not true. And there's every one of us, we go through times, we can hear bad news, we can be faced with some kind of setback and feel your feeling of confinement. Where now we have the garments of frustration, the garments of seemingly lost years, the garments of seemingly, because they weren't actually. This is the time where bitterness can set into some people. They become bitter, resentful, that they feel forgotten. It's amazing how so many people, when they feel that they've been snubbed or sniped or they've been overlooked, and they feel that resentment, that can settle into rebellion. I don't know, you know, the most famous American betrayer of the American Revolution, Benedict Arnold, felt like he was overlooked. Resentment set into his life. His wife was, she was totally into prestige and fed him and fed him and fed him as far as you should be. And to some degree, he was. General Washington didn't want to just promote another person from Pennsylvania. They had too many generals, so he overlooked him to one cent and moved on. But that didn't mean it was the end of Benedict's career, but he was willing to sell out America and almost cost us the Revolutionary War, because of his betrayal. You let that settle into your heart. There are just times you're going to go through. There's seemingly times. Remember, almost everyone in the Bible went through years of seemingly isolation and frustration. We could talk about Elijah. It's interesting that he's the power prophet. That on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's Elijah and Moses. And Elijah is representing all the prophets. It's very interesting because he's not the one who ever wrote a book. He's not Ezekiel. He didn't write a book like Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah. He didn't actually, you know, there's only just, I think it's seven chapters about him in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. He shows up in 2 Kings 17 by 1 Kings 17 by 2 Kings 7, chapter 2, he's gone. There's not that many chapters about him, but yet he's the power. But don't ever think that maybe his time just hanging out at the brook Cherubim. He's just there. The ravens are feeding him. It's seemingly a time of isolation and frustration, but God did something in him that he had that power that was unprecedented in the prophets at the time. We could talk about Moses, 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, seemingly frustration, isolation. We could talk about David having to run 23 attempts from the Saul on his life. We could talk about Jesus, 40 days and nights in the wilderness alone. Paul, 14 years in the church in Antioch, that he's there. There's times we go through that and we feel like nobody knows. Nobody sees. It's just, you know, frustration. And Joseph survived all of those. And the reason he survived all of those is constantly through the text you read, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. God gave him favor. You read these terms over and over through the book of Genesis, and you realize that he had a couple of things. One is you have to maintain your relationship with God. If you're just serving God for what you can get or what you can be or a title or a position or, you know, whatever it might be, a girlfriend or, you know, whatever, it's going to disappoint you. And eventually, you're going to fail in one of these areas. One of these garments that we all are going to wear. There isn't anyone in here that you can't relate to any of this. That's what you went through, Sullivan. That's not what I went through. Because every one of us, it takes on a different form of garment. To some, it might be chinos. To others, it's Levi's. To some, it's a suit. But it's a different garment, but it's the same feelings. And over, he maintained his relationship with God, that God would give him favor. God would help him. God said, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. But it's in those times where we feel like God's a million miles away, don't we? We feel like we are the only, you know, Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one left. No, you're not. Peter says, don't be surprised, brother, that the temptations you go through are the same temptations that your brethren go through. The same frustrations, the same feelings that, you know, whether people are coming against you because there's favor in your life, or whether it's the moral test or the fruitless test or frustration, whatever it would be, we've all, you know, if you're going to serve God for any length of time, you're going to go through some of those. You're going to go through actually all of those. But you have to maintain your relationship with God. You hear it over and over. You know, the big five. Don't ever give up on the big five. Read your Bible, pray, witness, come to church, and pay your tithe. Sometimes just do that out of obligation. God will meet you. There's times, you know, it's the old joke. The guy wakes up in the morning and says, I don't want to go to that church. There's no love in that church. His wife says, you get up, we're going to church. He says, no, nobody there likes me. Nobody friends. He says, no, get up. You're the preacher. You have to go to the church. I've been there. I'm like, shoot. I actually preached for one guy. He was struggling, a whole long story, but I drove by the park. He had nobody. This is years and years ago. He had nobody in the church. I drove by the park. I'm like, they're having fun there. Let's go to the park. He's like, I can't do that. I said, I'll do it all. I'll do songs. I stood on a picnic table played guitar, sang a few songs, worshiped God, preached a sermon. We had, I don't know, a dozen great conversations with people in the park. It was because it was, you know, but I've been there. It's like you don't want to, it's just frustrating to go and to be a part. But you know what? You'll all go through times like this, tempted, frustrated, whatever. But then comes the garment of position. In Genesis 41, 14, Pharaoh calls. Now, again, the butlers, I'm hoping, assuming you know the story at least a little bit. The butler and the baker have the dream. Joseph interprets the dream that the butler will be restored, the baker will be killed. And 3 days later, this happens. He tells the butler, remember me. The butler doesn't. 2 years go by. And then the butler, when Pharaoh has a dream, he can't understand. He says, oh, there was a man in prison. That God had a plan all along. You know, God's got a purpose for your life. He tells Moses, it's for this purpose that he appeared to him at the burning bush. He tells Paul, it is for this purpose that I called you. Acts chapter 9, he uses that word purpose over and over. I have a purpose for each and every one of you. That's going to be different. But here Joseph is stepping now into destiny. And, you know, I understand that, you know, destiny is a fluid thing in one sense that, you know, where I served God for a time here. This now my time has ended. I'm going on. That's part of the calling and the destiny of God. But the reality is God has something great for your life. And so when he calls Joseph, it says that he called for Joseph and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved. All right. And changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. Now he's going to enter into being prime minister. You know, it's pretty amazing to think about because most people go from prime minister to prison. Not prison to prime minister. I guess, you know, there's a few exceptions there. But for the most part, you know, he's going to actually impact the world. He's going to save and influence two nations. He's going to make a way for his family. That after the testing comes the change. That when we go through things, they're not forever. One of my favorite terms in the Bible is the term, and this too shall pass. It shall pass. You're not, you know what? No matter what you're going through at the moment, it's going to change. I was talking to John before, the service, before the breakfast, and you know, we were lamenting getting old. You know, we're not 20 anymore. It passed. It's gone. It's in our minds, it's still there, but in our bodies, they're telling us otherwise. Right? And so things change. Life is changing. Life is going to, it's a river. It's fluid. It's not just a station. It's not a Polaroid moment. It's constantly evolving and changing. And I've seen God open doors. I've experienced phone call. I've experienced the whisper of God in my ear. That, you know what, it's this change. When I left Cork, Ireland, we left pretty much scared to death. We're coming to Prescott. We know a handful of people. We, you know, in one sense, it was not a raging success you know, everywhere else I had been, we had had pretty good, and this was just frustrating. Coming here, going to evangelize. I've been overseas for 14 years. I'm from the East Coast. I don't know a lot of. I actually found out I knew more preachers than I thought I did. But you know, how's this all going to work out? How's the church going to receive us? And you know, how's this? You know, this testing and this time of you know. Sometimes frustration and fruitlessness and just going through it and how God opened a door. And we stepped into it. And at the moment, we didn't know that this was going to be as impactful on our lives. Had no clue how that was all going to play out, but God did it. I've had phone calls. I've gotten phone calls. Changed my life. I've gotten, you know, I'll share quickly the story. 6 months before Pastor Greg asked me to go on staff, Pastor Stevens had given him a word at conference, and something about a weight. I'm going to put a weight on you. It's going to crush you, but I'm going to help you, and I'm going to bring men to help you. And when he said that, my wife and I both looked at each other. We knew it for 6 months. But then what do you do with that? Pastor Greg, God spoke to me. I'm going to be a... No. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And so I'm an evangelist, right? People are booking me for meetings. They want me to buy tickets at conference for meetings that are coming up and then shortly. And I'm putting it off and putting it off and trying to stall people. And, oh, we'll talk Friday. And so Tim Miller actually grabs me Friday morning. And I'm like, Friday morning, I can't put these guys off. And maybe it wasn't God. And so we're looking at the ticket, literally on my phone. I'm like, here it is, $110. I'm 20 seconds away from pushing the button to buy it. And my phone rings, and it's Pastor Greg. Can you meet me in the office? Tim says, oh, I'll go. He goes, I should book someone else then, right? I'm like, wait. Let me find out what this is. I come back out of the office. He's like, oh, I got I got Rich Crox, and I got Steve Bowman to come for me. Thanks for canceling me. I'm like, I didn't cancel you yet, man. I go in the office. Pastor Greg says, I need some help. And I said, listen, God's already spoke to us about it 6 months ago. I don't have to ask Kerry because we've talked about it quite a bit. I don't have to pray about it because I have been for 6 months. Yes. He's like, what? Really? And so I walked out not knowing anything from salary to what my responsibilities would be. I already knew God spoke to me. God does that, but you got to go through those other tests. And I did go through, you know, those tests. Genesis 41, 50 through 52, and Joseph were born two sons during the years of the famine who came from his wife, and I'll skip all that, all the kind of crazy names. He called the first one Manasseh. He says, for God had made me to forget my toil of my father's house. And the name of the second one was Ephraim, for God had caused him to be fruitful in the land of affliction. These are marks in Joseph's life. You know what? You'll go through things, and maybe you are in a time of frustration, or maybe it's a moral temptation, or whatever you're going through. It will pass. And when you begin to go on in life, you know what? Some of those get put behind you. Remember this. Pastor Mitchell has said it for years. The will of God is certain people in certain places at certain times doing certain things. And that's what God has for us. And God had brought him through to bring him to that place at that time to do a certain thing. To save many nations. God had chosen that place long before Joseph had ever known it. The carnal will never get that. His brethren come to him, Genesis 50, and I close with this, I want you to just consider it. Genesis 50, his brothers come to him, dad's died now, and they're afraid that Joseph's going to extract vengeance. And what does he say to them? He says, don't be afraid, for am I in this place of God? God worked all those, see, we try to escape some of the frustrations of life. And if you're down, if you're frustrated, if you're going down, I know this will not be popular with some, but let me remind you of the Super Bowl where the New England Patriots played the Atlanta Falcons. And at halftime, it was 28-3. Seemingly lost. And for most teams, it would have been lost. But the Patriots came back. And they won that game in overtime. The dynasty is done, man. Anyway. He won't be back. Anyway, so you may feel like life's all against you. You may feel like, you know what, it's insurmountable odds that I can't come back. You can. It's happened. It's happened over and over, sports, military, however you want to say it. You could be in those places. Maybe you failed in one of these testings. You can recover. You can recover. You can get up, dust yourself off, repent, go on, man. It's not the end of the game. Life is not over until they put you in a box, bury you, and go eat potato salad afterwards, right? It's not over till then, right? You can press on. That through life, you're going to wear different garments. It's going to be the way it is. But God can help you. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. You're here this morning, you've come, and maybe you're not right with God. I am very blessed with how many men are here. But I want to first give an opportunity for those of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in life, you're going to face some of these tests anyway, and you're going to fail over and over and over if you don't know the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're not filled with His Spirit and the Holy Spirit, you're going to fail at some of these areas over and over and over and over. And it's going to frustrate you, trap you, and there is no breakthrough at the end. But you're here this evening, this morning, you've come and you're not right with God. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You want to know God. I'm not promising you that life is perfect after you get saved. I am promising you there's a God in heaven that will help you through it all. You're here. Very quickly, slip up your hand. Say, that's me. Would you pray for me? I'm not right with God. I'm not saved. I'm not right with God, or I'm backslidden. Anyone, very quickly. We're going to move on in just a moment. That's you this morning. Very quickly, lift your hand. Say, that's me. I'm not right with God. I'm not saved. I knew God at one time. I'm backslidden. All right, I want to change the call then to Christians. You know what? In life, I've stressed it over and over. You're going to go through these things. Every one of us, maybe in different ways, but we're all going to face it. We're all going to face the garments of frustration. We're going to face the garments of the feeling of fruitlessness and hitting the glass ceiling, if you will, and not being able to go on or get forward blessed in life. There's going to be times of moral testing. There's going to be times where God's going to bless you and others are going to resent that. And you got to survive them by a relationship with God. There is no other way that you're ever going to get around that than to maintain your prayer life, reading your Bible, coming to church, hearing the Word of God preached, and letting God work it out. You know, God works it out. I found in a lot of those situations, God can work it out far better than I can. God is able to get involved and help us through. And so we're going to sing a song for a few minutes and allow people, just take some time. We'll sing this through a couple of times. You can talk to God if you want to do that.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. And renew.
Well, every head's bowed. I just want to ask, you're going through one of these in your life right now. There's just frustration, fruitlessness, maybe it's a temptation, whatever it is. Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways like us. And this is how we can have compassion. And it goes on to say, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. That you're going through at least one, maybe you're going through all of these areas. Maybe they're all going. Maybe God's giving you favor and there's brother, you know, people, da, 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 or whatever it might be. I want you to just lift up your hand very quickly. Say, yeah, I'm going through at least one of these areas. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Because I want you to realize what he says when he names his sons, for God. For God has caused, for God has made me to forget my toil and all my father's house, and God, for God has caused me to be fruitful. For God. God needs to get involved. I want you to say these words. Father in heaven, I'm coming boldly to your throne right now because I need help. Father, you know all my circumstances and my situations of what I'm going through. And I know that you can help me. You can speak. You can clearly guide. And you can keep my heart. Father, help me to do what is right, regardless of my circumstances and what others do. I am committing my life that I know you are going to take me through this. And you are going to help me and make me fruitful and bring me into that place that I need to be, that I may fulfill what you have for my life. And I thank you that you're able to do this in Jesus' name. Let's give him praise. Let's worship him. Father, we love you. Lord, we rejoice in you. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I appreciate you all coming this morning. I'm going to turn it back to Brian.